You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. What a joy it is to be here. Wow, what a good-looking crowd of people. So glad you're here today. What a thrill it is for me to be here, to be a part of this. Whatever God is doing, I want to be in on it, right? And we're just a small part, but I'm glad to be in, and I'm glad you're a part of it as well. Pastor Ben, what a dear friend he is. I'm so thankful for your pastor. I have a lot of respect for him. I've worked with him in the past, and he, as a matter of fact, some of my first experiences with your pastor is he drove all the way to mid-Michigan. We had a meeting over there with another church, and we were a part of it. And so he drove his moped or his scooter all the way to mid-Michigan, and he pulls up on that little scooter. You know how tall he is. I'm looking at him like, you just drove a long way on this little scooter. It was amazing to me, but the adventure of your pastor is just incredible to me. Of course, his love for missions, and he's on this mission trip, and we definitely will be praying for him as he is in Indonesia, planting and working with four churches there. And also, I see your vision out in the lobby there, additional offices and classrooms. It's exciting what God is doing here at Gateway. And what an honor it is for me to be here. I've been pastoring for 23 years in West Branch. It's a smaller community, but we have a lot of people that drive in from around the area. And we do three services, and so it's just been crazy. But I'm raising up a new pastor. I am in the process right now. As a matter of fact, this Tuesday is our business meeting to elect our new pastor. As I am going to be stepping down as the lead pastor after 23 wonderful years. We're still going to be on the team, but I'm going to be going full-time at the network. Aaron Halavin, who is our superintendent of the state, called me and asked me if I'd be interested in working with him. And, of course, I was not on my radar at all, and so I said no at first. But with much prayer, how many know God has a way of working on our hearts? Yeah, and over a period of time, my wife and I felt like, wow, there's something to this. And so what a joy it is to work with pastors and churches and church boards all over the state of Michigan. I travel a lot now, and so I'm so thankful what God is doing to be able to share. Of course, this is a very healthy church, as I'm just amazed walking in here, just seeing how incredible it is. The people are so friendly here. The staff is amazing. How many know you are blessed? Can we give God a hand for that? You are so blessed. And you guys are in two services, and I love the vision of adding on to your building. I'm telling you, God is working. And so today I just want to encourage you from God's word. My wife can't be with me today. She's still full-time at the church in West Branch, and she's one of the associate pastors there. I have two daughters on staff as well. And so they're all very much plugged in, and I have to get back as soon as I can because it is Father's Day. Everybody say, yeah, it's Father's Day. And so I'm going to get back, and we're going to have kind of a celebration there with the family. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads today. Thank God for fathers, and we just pray God's blessing over you today. I know you've been in a series. And here's the series, if we'll put it up there, As For Me and My House. And what an amazing series you have been in. So Pastor Ben got a hold of me and asked me if I would finish the series today with this message. And, of course, I know you've been hearing some wonderful preaching from your pastor, and I know you've had other guests as well, and just learning a lot. And last week, Pastor Ben talked about marriage. How to have a healthy marriage, and talked about his own marriage with Jessica, and what a powerful word it was. I listened to the whole sermon, absolutely thoroughly enjoy your pastor. You guys, I'm telling you, you have a wonderful pastor here, and is a great communicator of God's word. And so I want to finish today. And today I'm going to talk about on the title, The Greatest of All Time. The Greatest of All Time. Now, I'm going to be preaching to the dads, but also to everybody in the room, because I'm going to be teaching a principle today that applies to every single one of us. And it is one of the principles that Jesus taught and he modeled for us. The greatest of all time. Now, let's go ahead and settle this right now. Who is the greatest of all time? Let's think of basketball, okay? Who is the greatest of all time? Is it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron James? Now, let me see. Who says Michael Jordan? Let me see your hand. Okay, that's the majority, all right? LeBron, is there any LeBron James? Okay, there's a few LeBron James. You both are great, great players. Now, I know some of you are soccer fans. Now, some of you may not recognize the names that I, you know, when you talk about the greatest soccer players, you have to go outside of America, right? Yeah. Oh, some of you already know where I'm going. How many of you say the soccer player from Argentina, Lionel Messi, or would you say Cristiano Ronaldo out of Portugal? How many of you say Messi? Anybody? Messi. What about Ronaldo? Anybody? Okay, that's pretty even. Yeah. Yeah, both are amazing players. Now, let's do one more. Let's do superheroes, okay? Now, how many would you say Superman is the greatest of all time superhero, or would you say Wonder Woman? All right, Superman, let me see your hand. Yeah. All right, any Wonder Woman in the house? All right, yeah. All right, the greatest of all time. Now, I want to encourage you today, when it comes to God's kingdom, God has a very different standard that makes you great. And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said that in the world, you know, most people want to show you their greatness. We like to show, you know, our stuff. Look at my shoes, look at my clothes, right? And we even post on social media, places where we go, and everybody else kind of looks and, you know, they see your vacation and places where you've been, and it's like, wow, right? And the world shows you its greatness. But Jesus said something very interesting, and I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I know most of you could probably quote this. It's in Mark chapter 10. This is what Jesus said, though. He says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Let's go to verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So I'm going to give you a bullet point. This is what I call a sticky statement. And I want this statement to stick to your life. Here it is. In the kingdom of God, greatness is service, not status. Amen? In the kingdom of God, greatness is service, not status. It's not your position. It's not your rank. It's not how important you appear to be in the eyes of other people. That's not what God is looking at. God says to be great in the kingdom of God, it is to be the servant of all. Now, let me just say this. It is impossible to love Jesus and not serve people. It is impossible because the Holy Spirit will begin to do a work in your life and in your heart to make us more like Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the ultimate servant. And he models that for us, and we want to model that as well. And I want to encourage every father here today to be that model for your family, to be the role model. Now, we know as fathers, we pray for our kids, and we pray for our family, and we have family devotions, and I hope you have time where you have dinner together. I would encourage you to have dinner as a family at least 3 or 4 times a week where you sit around the table and have fellowship. And one of my favorite questions to ask my family is, what are you reading in the Bible? What is God showing you? And we sit around the table and talk and share. And it's one of my favorite questions. What are you learning? What are you experiencing in your life? What has God been saying to you lately? I love to ask my kids that question. But also what I think is so critical that you and I model for others to be a servant, And I know we're works in progress. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived. How many know God is doing a work? How many of you just do dumb stuff? Anybody in the room? Yeah. I've had a lot of dumb moments in my life. Matter of fact, I had a few dumb moments this week. I'm traveling a lot more, and I've been in traffic. Hello. I have dumb moments, right? Don't these people know I'm going somewhere, right? Yeah. Servants. John 13 says this, it was just before the Passover festival that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It's interesting that Jesus, the last few hours of his life, here Jesus is about to die. He's about to give his life for the world. And I think it's interesting that what does Jesus do? He doesn't go on like, you know, you would think the last few hours of your life, you would go do something like go on a vacation or something a few days before you're about to die on the cross. Or, you know, he didn't go on some kind of a massive spending spree. No, Jesus chose to spend the last few hours with his friends. And he models something that is so powerful. And John tells us that Jesus loved them. Jesus loved them to the very end. Now, the Greek word there for the very end means Jesus is showing them the full extent of his love. He's showing them, not only is he going to die on the cross, he's modeling for them, he's loving them to the uttermost, is what that word means. It doesn't mean that he loved him to the end of his life. It means that his love has no end. How many of you are thankful for the love of God that has no end? I do too. Jesus doesn't just say he loves us. He shows his love. That is a principle right there I want you to grab today. It's not just words. You know, words are important. But it's not just what, saying to your spouse or saying to your kids, I love you, but showing them how much you love them. It's powerful. That's what Jesus does by serving. There is no greater way of showing your love to your family than to serve your family. Verse 4 and 5 says, so he got up from the meal. He took off the outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel and that was wrapped around him. Service. The act of Jesus serving. I love the words, he got up. He took off his outer clothing. We're going to talk about that. He got up. Everybody say, he got up. He took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. He knelt down and he washed the disciples' feet. And then the Bible says he dried their feet with a towel. The first thing I want you to notice today is he got up. He got up. Picture it. Those words are very important. Jesus got up. I want you to picture lounging, people chilling out, right? And they're sitting there having a nice meal together, laying back and eating with dirty feet. And Jesus got up. And of course, we all know in the Bible days, you know, the way they traveled and they had the Jerusalem cruisers on and they had their sandals and they traveled everywhere and their feet would get really dirty. And Jesus got up as an example. Some of the most important moments in your life are going to be you getting up. It's not you sitting. Most of the great things you do in your life are not you sitting somewhere. It's you getting up. And, you know, when I got married to my wife, Angie, I was up. We said our vows. We stood before each other. Or when I was holding my kids for the first time, I got up and walked around the room as I was holding them in my hand. We get up. When you took your first step as a baby, you were up. You weren't sitting. When you reach your goals in your life, usually you're not sitting down to do that. When I preach standing up. Right? Some of the greatest moments in your life, there's going to be you getting up. And I would encourage every father and every, you know, and your family to take time to get up, to invest in the next generation. to invest in your kids. Turn the TV off, set the phone down, and step into their world. Be present. You know where they, you know what they say, wherever you are, be there. Be there. Be in the moment. Be in the moment with your kids. And there are times I have to be reminded of that. I'm doing a lot of emails and phone calls and traveling. And sometimes I'm in the room, but how many know I'm not in the room? My mind is somewhere else. And I'm learning to be present. And now we've got grandkids. Anybody have grandkids in the house? Oh, I'm telling you, I've been hearing about grandkids all of my life, and I'm telling you, it is the best. I absolutely love having grandkids. I had a grandson named Archie, and he's 3 years old. And as a matter of fact, my wife's been telling me since I've been gone for a few days now, and I'm calling home, and she's like, Archie stayed the night. And I'm like, right? They're having a blast. And our my granddaughter, Eloise, my daughter loves those traditional names, Archie and Eloise. And we're absolutely eating them and investing time there as well, getting up and being present. If you're going to have a life that really matters, you've got to get up to you know, I promise you, if you're going to make a difference in this life and do something great with your life, to have a life that really matters, you have to get up. Amen? Would you look at your neighbor right next to you and say, hey, it's time for you to get up. Come on, tell him. It's time for you to get up. Yeah. So Jesus got up. And the Bible says that he took his outer clothing. You know, whenever you read the Bible, this is what I do. Every time I read the Bible, I always ask myself this question. What does this mean to me? How do I apply this to my life? Jesus took his outer clothing off. What does that mean? Why is that important? I believe every word in the Bible is important. And as you read the Bible and as you study, every time you read a chapter in the Bible, there's going to be a verse that sticks out to you, and I want you to grab that verse, and I want you to say to yourself, how can I use this in my life? How does this apply to me? And when the Bible says that Jesus took that outer clothing off, you know, Chad, what do you take off? You know, when you think of servanthood, sometimes we have titles that we need to take off. Sometimes we have pride that needs to be taken off. And what's deep, what's really under there? You know, Jesus was showing what's underneath that outer garment. And it was absolute humility and servanthood. And I think God is doing a work in you and I. And he wants us to take the outer off. And he says, I want you to show what's really that character that's underneath. And I want you to humble yourself and serve one another. Take it off and put on a towel and serve in humility. Amen? Jesus poured water into a basin. He knelt and washed the disciples' feet. This is such an incredible principle. I'm teaching you how to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. This is one of the most important sermons because this is absolutely critical to be great. How many of you in here want to be great in the kingdom of God? Anybody? Yeah. 7 of you. 10. Okay, yeah. It's impossible to describe to you how jolting this had to be for the disciples. This was absolutely shocking for them and unexpected for them to see Jesus do what he was doing. And if you understand the context of what's going on here, the Passover meal was taking place, and this tradition was for generations to celebrate the faithfulness of God, the forgiveness and the goodness of God. And the Bible says there was an argument among the disciples, and they were arguing. If you read Gospel of Luke, it was talking about that they were arguing about who is the greatest, and they were kind of fighting with each other. It was all about their position. It was all about their title. Who's going to be the greatest in God's kingdom? Who's the greatest of all time? And Jesus said, let me show you. You can just hear John saying, hey, I'm the one that Jesus loves. And Peter said, yeah, but I walked on water, right? And Bartholomew said, hey, nobody even knows who I am, right? I'm important. And they were arguing with each other. Who's the greatest of all time? And Jesus looked across the room. Do you know what Jesus saw? Jesus saw two things. It's up on the screen for you. Jesus saw proud hearts and dirty feet. That's what he saw. He saw people that were more concerned about how good they look, how important they were, their titles, and he saw a need, and nobody would get up, and nobody would serve. They were not going to serve one another. They were more concerned about title and importance. And what did Jesus do? He saw the need, and he said, I can wash feet. This one's mine. And that's exactly what he did. He got up, knelt down, washed the disciples' feet. We're talking about Jesus here, the Son of God. The living water. I mean, the Bible gives Jesus all kinds of titles. And we know Jesus he's the good shepherd. The Bible said he's the true vine. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the living stone. He's the King of glory, the Prince of peace, and he's the great high priest. The Bible says he's the righteous judge. He's the chosen one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the Redeemer. He's the rock. Come on. And he's the servant of all. Amen? Can we just pause for a minute and give God a hand clap? Come on. He's the servant of all. Yes. And he kneels down and he washes their dirty feet. What did he do? He showed his love. Now, I want you to grab that for your personal life. Now, I want you to think about how that applies to you. And I know you and I are learning this as Christians, and we're learning to follow Jesus and to become more and more like Jesus. The disciples were too proud to serve one another, and Jesus modeled for them. I'm glad we're not like them, right? Well, maybe we are a little bit, right? You know, my wife's really big into acts of service. You know, if you guys have studied love language, I know some of you read the book, and it's a great book to read. You know, you everybody has a love language, a primary language, and you have a secondary language. And, you know, like acts of service and so on, affection, quality time, and words of affirmation, and all those things. So my wife is really big into acts of service. Like, that's how she shows love. And that's how she receives love. That's her primary language. That's not my language. That's her language. My language is words. I'm really good with words. I look at my wife and I say, wow, you look so beautiful in that dress. Wow. And she likes hearing that. And she appreciates that. But how many know she's like, you know, but would you take out the trash? Help me out, right? So anything I do to lighten the load, to serve, and that's become a big part of our life is serving one another. I've learned her language, and I try to speak. Let me just encourage you, understand your spouse's language and your children's language and speak their language all day long, all day. Show love. Amen. In our pride, I want you to write this down or think about this statement. It's up on the screen. In our pride, we often criticize those with dirty feet instead of washing them. We criticize people. We criticize situation. I wonder how God sees churches today. When God looks at churches, I wonder if it's kind of similar today. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church down the road, right? Well, you guys are quiet. I know you're listening. And who is the greatest in the kingdom? Greatness isn't about status. Remember, it's not about status. It's about service. You cannot love Jesus and not serve people. And I want you to start using the phrase. This week, I want to encourage you. I challenge you. This week, I want you to start using this phrase. I can do that. I can do that. When you see an opportunity, this one is mine. I can do that. I can help there. I just saw that you're doing something on the 4th of July, and some of you may say, hey, I can do that. That fits in my schedule. I'm not traveling. I'm home. Or I don't have family coming in town or whatever. You know, I'll be around. I can do that. I can serve. I can sign up. I love how your pastor says that if the city, the community calls, we say yes every time. We're here to serve. We want to make a difference in this community and be the servants of all. We want to be great. So watch for a need. I want to challenge you today, all the dads in the room. It's Father's Day, and what an incredible principle to teach at home, to live at home, to model at home. When you see a need, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it's the kitchen, it doesn't matter. You know, we swallow our pride and we say, I can do that. I can help there. I can serve. So watch for opportunities to serve. See a need. Meet a need. If your friend is moving, help your friend move. You can say, hey, I can do that. This one's mine. If your youth ministry here at the church needs a parent to come and maybe help counsel students, you can. Some of you are good at that. Some of you can say, hey, I can do that. This one is mine. Your pastor, whatever, you know, they're asking, make room for that. Make room to do that. I can do that. I have time. Amen. Help in the children's ministry. Look for ways and keep saying to yourself, I can do that. This one is mine. Now, I want you to think of the excuse that Jesus could have given. He saw the disciples kind of arguing, and he has very little time left here. Jesus is about to die on the cross, and the disciples are acting very entitled, like they deserve it, right? And Judas is about to betray Jesus, and of course, but the Bible says, but he loved them to the uttermost. The ultimate extent of his love. Jesus served anyway. Even though the disciples were acting selfish and focusing on themselves, Jesus served anyway. Again, when you read the Bible, always ask yourself, how does this apply to me? Some of you need to say to yourself, you need to think this way, I'm going to serve anyway. They don't appreciate it, but I'm going to serve anyway. There's going to be people that take you for granted. Maybe your family takes you for granted. Maybe your kids don't even appreciate what you have been doing in your life and how you've invested in them. Maybe they don't even stop and say thank you. Serve anyway. Amen. Even if they don't appreciate it, serve. Because I mean, no, God is, God sees, God knows, God's observing your life, and he's doing a work in your life. That's what Jesus did. I want to make a difference in this world. I know you want to do the same thing. See a need and say to yourself, I can do that. This one is mine. It's not about status. It's about serving. It's impossible to love Jesus and not serve people. Amen? Come on, let's give God a hand this morning. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? Thankful for Jesus. I want to pray for the dads, but before we do today, I want to share with you, my parents had a huge impact in my life. I'm 53 years old now. I got saved when I was 22. I grew up in a Christian home, but at the age of 18, I was a year-round athlete, so I was in sports most of my life as a kid, all through high school. Graduated, and at the age of 18 years old, I moved out, and I rebelled against everything that I had been taught. Got out into the world and really started that party life. And there may be a few of you here, you say, Chad, I can relate to that, or I've experienced a very similar thing. But my parents, I always knew my parents loved me. And when I say I rebelled against my parents, what I've been taught, that's exactly what I did. I wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with church. But I had a praying mom. How many of you are thankful for praying moms? Yeah. My mom was praying, and my dad loves the Word of God and would teach me all of my life. I learned the Bible. I knew about God, but I didn't want to follow God. And so I got out into the world, and I just said, I want nothing to do with this. And so when I graduated, I don't know if it's because I was an athlete and I had to live a very disciplined life all through school. But once it was like... I mean, I'm out of here. freedom, right? But it wasn't freedom. I got really into the party life. And for 4 years, I partied almost every night. I didn't have one Christian friend. And so I would drink a lot. And of course, when I turned 21, I really started getting into heavier stuff like drugs and things like that. And so for a full year, I did meth. And I was really going downhill quickly. But my parents, I always knew they loved me, so I would go and visit them. Their home was always open to me. They knew I wasn't following God, but they always told me the truth. My parents, in love, always said truth to me. They would let me know, Chad, God's got a call on your life. God's got a plan for you. My dad would encourage me with scripture. My mom would say, Chad, I'm praying that God makes you a preacher. And I said, you shut up. I didn't want that. A preacher, what are you kidding me? That's the last thing I want. And I mean, I really got out into the world, and the enemy was trying to kill me. And I really, that last year of partying at the age of 21, turning 22, was dark years for me. One night, every night, we're at a different bar, we're at a different place, and I would sit there at the bar, and I had my beer in front of me, and I'm sitting there, but mom's home praying. And how many know her prayers were messing up my good time? I mean, the Holy Spirit was convicting me. I mean, I was miserable, absolutely miserable. I felt lost, broken, empty. And I felt the devil's plan was to kill me. And I'm sitting there, I'm at this bar, all my friends are just having a great time, and they're all, you know, I wasn't the kind of partier or the drug kind of guy that had like a needle hanging out. I wasn't that kind of, you know, it's not that picture. I wasn't laying on the side of the road with a needle, you know. That wasn't me. I was a very clean-cut looking person, worked very hard, had a very good job. To look at me, you would not have known anything is wrong. But I was in a very dark place, and I'm sitting there at this bar one night. The Holy Spirit is all over me, miserable. And I looked over at my friend. They're laughing, having a good time. I'm not laughing. And I just said this to one of my friends. I said, hey, is your mom praying for you too? And he's like, what are you talking about? He had no clue what I was talking about. Just totally ignored me and just kept having fun. To make a long story short, the Holy Spirit began to, I mean, I was in a very, I felt lost, miserable, broken. And I knew I needed God. And I didn't know how to get out. I did not know how to get out of the life I was in into this different life. And I was driving back one night at midnight, was absolutely intoxicated. I should not have been driving. But I was driving, but instead of going back to my house, I said, I'm going to go to my parents' house. It was midnight, so mom and dad were already in bed, but I drove there, and I wept the whole drive home. I was just crying. I mean, it was not like a pretty cry. It was like I was wailing, crying. Look, just my eyes puffy. I mean, just bawling, crying out to God. And I drove to my parents' house. I went into their house. They're already asleep, so I went into one of their spare bedrooms and just knelt down. And the best way I knew how, I had been taught about God, and I cried out and I said, Jesus, you know the prayer. I asked him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And I had prayed that prayer a lot in my life, but this time I meant it. I needed God. How many of you guys know God wants to be? He's needed. He wants to be needed, and we need him. Some of you in here may not realize how much you need God in your life. I realized that night, God, I need you. I need help. I keep saying that phrase, make a long story short. That night, I got saved. 22 years old. I was a drinker. Drugs, smoked cigarettes for 4 years, everything that night. It's like God just, I woke up the next morning and I felt different. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You feel different. I felt close to God. I felt peaceful inside. That shame and that guilt and that I mean, I was just in a miserable place. All of that was just like lifted. And I felt so close to God. And my parents were still asleep. So I ran upstairs into their bedroom, busted in their room. And I said, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she kind of woke up like, I said, Mom, I'm saved. I'm saved. She said, Are you sure? Yes. And you know, she believed me because I locked myself in their house for 3 weeks. All my friends were calling, Dude, where are you, man? And I would tell them on the phone, I said, Man, I found Christ. I lost just about every friend I had. I didn't care because I found a new friend. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, come on, give God a hand. Praise God. And I told the Lord, I made a commitment to God. I said, God, I will spend the rest of my life telling people what you've done for me. I will tell the world, I will tell as many people as you allow me to tell what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm not up here because I deserve to be here. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching with you. Amen? God has been good to me. That night he saved me. I went to Bible college and I said, I'm going to be a pastor and I want to tell people the good news of Jesus for the rest of my life by the grace of God. And that's what I'm doing tonight, today. Amen? Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. My heart is moved every time I tell what you've done for me. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Father. God, thank you for my parents. Thank you for my mom and dad. They made a huge difference in my life. They taught me, they role modeled for me, and they prayed for me. I apologize for crying this morning. God's been really good to me. He's been very gracious. Right where you're at, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, would you right now where you're sitting just invite Jesus? Just open your heart. Just open your heart. Jesus, come into my life. I don't deserve you. But I need you. Save me, God. Save me, God. That was my prayer that night. I need you, Lord. I want you to remember three words: admit, believe, confess. Let's say that together. Admit, believe, confess. Let's say it again. Admit, believe, confess. Admit your sin. You have to believe in two things, that Jesus died for you and that God raised him from the dead. You have to believe both of those if you're going to be saved. And confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's not just the Savior, he's the Lord of your life. He's the boss. That's what you say, God, you be the boss of my life. I surrender to you. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Will you just open your heart right now to Christ and say, Jesus, come into my life. I'm lost without you, God. I admit I'm a sinner. I've done some dumb stuff in my life. But I believe, God, that you sent Jesus. He was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life. He was the ultimate servant and he died on the cross for my sins. I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead. And today I confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I open my heart to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray that prayer right now. Just whisper to the Lord. Come into my heart. Save me, God. I need you, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the dads, would you please stand? I want all the dads to stand, the granddads and the dads. I want to say a little prayer for you. Can we give the dads a hand? Isn't this awesome? Wow, look at this group. Thank God for you. Thank God for you, your example, your leadership, your servanthood, the fact that you're here today. You know, the statistics are amazing that when a father goes to church, 90% of, like, his whole family is going to go to church. It's not the same with anybody else in the family. The father, everybody in the family is important. But I'm telling you, fathers, the fact that you're here is absolutely huge for your family knowing God and being saved. I want to pray for the dads right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every dad here. Thank you. Thank you for them, Father. Bless them today. Let this be a special day for them on this Father's Day. Father, I thank you for your hand of blessing upon their life. Thank you for your leadership that is flowing through them. And Lord, I pray that you would anoint us to be servants in our house, to serve our spouse, to serve our children, to be examples, Father. I pray for wisdom and guidance. Lord, I thank you for my dad who went home to be with the Lord 6 months ago. Thank you for him. I celebrate my dad today, God. Father, I pray your blessing. And as we leave today, I pray that your spirit would flow through us, in us, and through us. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to close with this song this morning.
Chad, thank you so much for your word this morning. I didn't share this first service, but feel led maybe this service that it would speak to someone. When Pastor Chad was sharing his testimony about his parents praying for him, I know that's probably some of you parents here praying for your prodigals, but for me, I had literally the opposite story of Pastor Chad, getting radically saved after breaking into a home at 14, and man, just going home with my life changed. My dad passed away a year, 6 months ago, mine a year ago. And when my dad passed, he was 8 years sober, gave his life to Jesus, serving in full-time ministry for 6 years, and where he probably would say he failed so many times and, you know, raising us. He got to give back and be a spiritual dad to so many addicts struggling themselves. And so I don't know if you're here and, you know, maybe you have a parent or a loved one that you've been praying for. Hey, it works both ways. Whether you're the child or whether you're the adult, prayer works. Prayer is powerful, and we serve a life-changing God. And so I just feel like maybe there's someone here that, you know, you have a parent, you have a loved one, you have an uncle, you have a spiritual parent, you have a mentor that maybe you've been praying for. Just know that it doesn't matter whether you're the spiritual head of your home or you're following somewhere else as well. Prayer is powerful and effective and can change lives. And so just wanted to share that. I don't know if it is for anyone, but yeah. Now let's just pray and just thank God before we go today. Jesus, we just thank you. What a powerful act on the last day of your life that you chose to serve. Serve those who are following you. Set your title aside. Set your status aside. Give up your time. That there were two needs that you saw. You saw that there were dirty feet, and you saw that there was pride, and you disarmed them in one action, Lord. Lord, let us follow in those footsteps, Lord. That we can disarm those around us by serving. That we can show love to others by setting aside our titles or our time or our finances, Lord, in order to serve and give back to those around us, Lord. And let us not do so just to gain favor with them or to gain status in return or to gain applause, but Lord, out of obedience to you, as an act of worship to you, let us pick up our cross and follow after you, Lord. And Lord, we know it will be costly. Lord, that it will be an inconvenience. Lord, that when we ask this, we know it might come at the worst time. But Lord, let us follow after you by serving, by washing feet, to our neighbors, to our families, to our coworkers, to the people we might run into as we go out to eat or just go around town, Lord. To our friends. And Lord, we know we need your strength. We need your power to do so, Lord. We can't do it on our own. And so we thank you that your Spirit is here, is moving, is filling us, is empowering us to be sent out on mission. So Lord, we go empowered and emboldened by your presence, by your Spirit, picking up our cross and leaving this place as your ambassadors to a lost, hurting, and broken world. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Go in God's grace. If there are some root beer out there, grab some as you go. And we hope you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.